Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoseEntertainment.tv right here on Indy100.com radio. And I just want to say, and UBN, Universal Broadcast Network, and I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that are tuning into my show. And because of you guys, I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative of all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today. If you're into cool movies, cool actors and producers, we have a longtime dear friend of mine, Christian Oliver, coming into the studio to talk about his new movie, The Outer Wild. But before that, we do want to do a couple little plugs again. If you want, hit me up on Twitter. That's at Tyrone Tan over on Twitter. TYRONETAN is a Nancy, N is an Nancy. And then on Instagram, that's at Tyrone Tan Official over on Instagram. And then if you really, really want on Facebook, that's Tyrone Tan. And then if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. And and if you want to see our in-studio guest photos of our lovely guest, our dashing guest, Christian Oliver, go to our Facebook page over at Star Wars Entertainment. So without further ado, we're going to be bringing in my guest co-host of the hour. We've been rotating guest co-hosts, and we always want to say thank you to all the guest co-hosts that have been coming on throughout the season, from Elisina Eck to David Rivers to Brandon Rusevich to... Gosh, if I'm forgetting, again, I always forget. But I do want to say how grateful and appreciative I am on all the guest co-hosts. But coming back into the studio, my dear friend, actor Marcus Lewis-Fien.
Hi, how are you?
How you
doing,
Matt?
Thanks for having me back. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Great, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a month or two.
So the last time you came on was when my friend Heather McComb, right?
Heather McComb.
Yeah, she's promoting
her film. Fantastic.
And And it's kind of cool. I mean, I don't know if anyone knows any history. You're in a new film that we did together.
Absolutely.
When It Rings.
Yeah.
Anything exciting going on?
I'm excited for that film to come out.
Yeah.
And just a couple of projects in the works that will be told about next time I come on.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I know I got to meet some of you're dealing with some peeps. And you're developing some stuff.
Yeah, we're shooting soon.
Okay, well, great. Well, yeah, man. I don't know if you know the drill, you know, Marcus. I mean, you know, I do. You got the memo? So the memo is the guest co-hosts of the hour, we talk about some movie reviews. Have you seen any movies lately?
You know, I've been Netflixing a lot, but I've heard about First Man that is out right now, I believe.
Yeah.
You got to see it.
Yeah, I got to see it. I got to go to a cool screening of this.
It looks amazing.
You have not got to see it.
I have not got to see it.
Okay.
But the director is a fan favorite of mine. He directed Whiplash, which is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, yeah. And also La La Land.
Yes, of course.
So you're referring to Damien Chazelle.
I am.
Got to meet him. Very nice guy. Very nice gentleman. But in regards to this movie... first of all, let me do a little intro again. Thanks to IMDb here. Here's a little quick synopsis. First Man, rated PG-13. Here's a quick little synopsis. A look at the life of the astronaut Neil Armstrong and the legendary space mission that led him to become the first man to walk on the moon on July 20th, 1969. Directed by Damien Chazelle. Written by Josh Singer. Screenplay. And then based on the book by James R. Hansen. Starring the talented Ryan Gosling, Claire Foy, Jason Clarke. Kyle Chandler, Corey Stoll, Patrick Fugit, Christopher Abbott, Olivia Hamilton, Ciaran Hinds, a great plethora, Ethan Embry's in this, Lucas Haas. There's a great plethora of great actors and talent, and I loved it. I saw it twice, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm into that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm into, like, history type, you know, films.
Definitely. I'm really excited to see it. It looks like one of the greats for the year.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I was a huge fan of Apollo 13, and it's not the same type. I mean, it's not that kind of, I don't want to say sugarcoated. Apollo 13 had a different like epicness to it. I don't
Correct.
Know. This was more of a serious tone of you know the astronaut life about Neil Armstrong. It was very dramatic, so it's not like kind of glossed as some films that they're based about you know astronauts going through. I mean, like Good. even the like the sets had like. This rivet old look feeling like it's been used where sometimes you see certain movies and it's very all white and polished and nice and everything's all right. really like brand new. So this one seemed kind of, like I said, it seemed had a really go rustic feel. And the first time I think I was taken back the first time I saw it because I was expecting this. I don't know. Like I said, this feeling that I got from Apollo 13, like a kind of more of a feel goody type film. Which I loved. And so after I saw it the first time, I walked away going, oh, it was different, but I liked it. And then I got to see it like the next day or two at a special screening, and it was definitely different because I kind of knew what to expect, and then I kind of was able to pay attention to a little bit more of the details of it. And
like,
going
in the sense that they brought it back to the 60s and to the late 60s of that time frame?
Or? Well, it's just, it was a very more dramatic tone. I mean,
interesting.
It was you know, the score is very serious. You know, just the acting of everything. It was just more of a serious look of their lives, and then you're seeing, you know, there's people that are, you know, dying throughout the situation. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I mean, obviously it's in history. But you know, just characters knowing that people had, and they kind of got a little bit more detail about again one of those
nice.
About the lifestyle of
right.
It. So great. I highly recommend checking it out, but you haven't seen it yet, right?
Correct.
All right. So I say let's check it out. I recommend it, and if you're a fan of Damien Chazelle, you know,
I mean,
it's a 180 from La La Land, or you know, it's probably more in the vein of. In the sense of tone, more of Whiplash than La La Land.
That's what I can feel from the trailer.
But I think Gosling the Great and Claire Foy did excellent. And it's interesting because in the movie, Claire Foy doesn't, you know, has like a complete, you know, regular you know, American accent. And then in real life, she had this like complete, you know, European accent or something, and it was just completely. Yeah. I was like, "Whoa!" Maybe not European. I don't know, but just like an accent. I was like, "Wow, great transformation." But again, so highly recommend that. Again, that is First Man, rated PG-13. Check it out. All right. So, did you get the second? The second memo.
I always get that memo.
So the second memo, we always find ways to make the guest of the hour. To make him, you know, make them feel special coming in. Like sometimes
Always.
You bring them in on, you know, Millennium Falcons, limos, hang gliders,
Transformers.
Yeah. So what did you arrange a way to make the get? Now this is a long time dear friend. So just so you know, so I wanted to hopefully something.
I made some calls.
So you made some calls. So how are we going to bring him in?
We went straight to the top on this one.
Okay.
Back to 2008.
Okay.
This guy, you know, he's got a lot of credits in a lot of different films and TV shows, and I picked one of the cooler ones of the later 2000s. He was in the movie Speed Racer.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you did some research. Okay.
Yeah. And I how could we not bring him in?
Oh, you're one of the Speed Racer like Mach 5 type cars?
Exactly.
You know,
the Mach 5.
You know what? I was wondering what that was in the back of the studio. It was all covered up.
And yeah.
So
it's got
on
it.
Yeah, that's cool. So I guess you're going to bring him in on that. So I mean, just to go over, I mean, we're going to go through his history. I mean, again, longtime dear friend Christian Oliver, who's going to be coming in. He's been from I met him way back from cool series like Saved by the Bell, The New Class, The Babysitter's Clubs. He's been in all the way down from working on Sliders down to movies. He's got Valkyrie, The Good German, Speed Racer, as you say. But, you know, we're going to be going through a lot. He's got a new movie coming out called The Outer Wild, which we're going to talk about as well. So, again, so I guess you're just going to bring him, I guess, open up the door. And
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to whistle the guys, the valley.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. All right. Here he comes, speeding into the studio. Coming, oh, he goes around that corner. Coming down the studio street.
He's coming back.
Here he comes into the studio. Okay, he is an actor. He is a producer. He is from TV shows, from classic shows like Saved by the Bell, The New Class, from movies like Babysitter's Club all the way down to The Good German working with George Clooney, down to this new movie called The Outer Wild. He is an actor, producer. Here he comes into the studio. Here is Christian Oliver. Speeding into the studio. Ooh, there he. Oh wow, look at that! Look at all this fanfare. People throwing roses at him.
That's a lot of smoke.
Oh my gosh, all these people. Woo! All right, here he comes up. He's coming out. Up. Oh, he's got the wave going on. Signing some autographs.
Yeah, baby.
Girls throwing stuff at him. What, guys throwing the stuff at him?
Yeah, everyone's just throwing stuff.
Well, wow. Okay, here he is. Okay, here he comes walking in. Welcome. Here he is, Christian Oliver, actor, producer from the new film, The Outer Wild.
Yeah, also known as Snake Oiler.
Welcome, Christian Oliver, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv right here at Indie100.com Radio and UBN Universal Broadcast Network.
Wow, what a welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I've never been, I've never flown into a studio, raced into a studio like a snake.
Oh,
oiler.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Marcus, thank you for well-ranged.
Absolutely.
Wow, you spared no expense.
Yes.
Keep the props receipt. Is expecting that car back.
Pedal to the metal.
You got
to
bring that
right back
right
in the car.
You gotcha.
Yeah.
Thanks, well,
man.
Well, Christian Oliver, man. Great to see you.
It's been a long time,
we
man.
We kind of just rekindled not too long ago. And literally, it's been years since then. What we want to do, we want to get the audience, if not fans already, become more fans, follow you, get to follow your work, as well as obviously get to see your new flick,
Beautiful.
The Outer Wild. So we always want to start off with the question, that we would like to get to all the guests, is where are you born and raised, my man?
All right. Back in Germany. Born and raised in Germany. Wow. Celle, a little town in Hanover. Up north, northern Germany, I made my way over to the United States as an exchange student.
Wow.
And that was back when I was 17.
Wow.
Went to high school here, senior year in North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina,
wow.
Millbrook.
And what a change.
Did you know growing up that you always wanted to be an actor or get into showbiz? Or was that something that you knew growing into it when you were in Germany? Or
Not at all.
Really?
I mean, I was in theater. I was doing theater, but it was like a hobby, like playing the drums, I always wanted to be a soccer player. That was
really?
Well,
okay.
Like every kid in Europe, you know. So, yeah, definitely. And acting was always there, but I never thought I would end up being an actor.
Wow. So where did you get the bug? I mean, doing theater or?
Absolutely. I fell in love with the United States as an exchange student over here in North Carolina. I had a great year. I mean, ups and downs, but overall, I just fell in love with the American culture, the way of life, anything is possible. I went back to Germany, finished school, and a day later, I moved
when you say
to New York.
Finish school, you mean high school or college?
It's like a junior college over there. So I went back and I literally had an opportunity to go to New York, work for an advertising agency as like an internship.
Wow.
And I was like the Big Apple. It was, a dream come true. And the acting bug got me in New York, definitely. The city of dreams, everything happening, everything multicultural. It was alive, and I was young and silly and taking acting classes.
Wow. And then so when did you come to L.A.? What do you think, from that point on, what made you transition from New York to L.A.?
It was literally one crazy night. We had taken over.
One crazy night, starring Christian Oliver, rated PG-13.
It was that crazy show. We had taken over MTV, The Real World, the apartment in Soho House, in Soho, Broadway and Spring.
Oh, this
across
is
the
in
little,
New
Yes, okay. In New York, the first MTV Real World.
Wow.
We took over that apartment, two buddies of mine.
So crazy.
And we lived in that amazing place. And literally, I went to acting class. I loved New York, had a great time. And my buddy was like, dude, you got to go to L.A.
Wow.
Hollywood. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, dude. And he's like, no, my buddy is a writer. He's coming in town tomorrow. He's looking for somebody to rent his apartment. Literally, I met the guy next day, gave him $300. He gave me, that was the rent back then.
Wow.
He gave me his key, and I flew to L.A., lived in West Hollywood, and it had one number. A friend of mine gave me a number of a friend, and that was it.
No, did you have an agent, a manager at the time? You just moved.
I had a phone number.
Okay, so you had one number. So let's take this. So from that point on, what was you just start? Because we met when you did a show called Saved by the Bell, the new class. Was that your first job, or did you do other stuff like commercials prior to that?
Well, that was my first real gig, but you're right. I did commercials, and I thought, I'm so above commercials.
You did like one Trident coming out.
Of course, I didn't know how amazing commercials are at that point. You know, suddenly they pay the bills and you meet great people. No, it was amazing. My first job, my first actual commercial was Milk, It Does a Buddy Good with Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, wow.
So it was like right then and there, I was like, it was a weird thing because I didn't know who she was at that point. I didn't know I was going to end up on Saved by the Bell in the new class.
Wow. She didn't even know she was on that show.
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah. She's just a pretty girl. She was
beautiful. Beautiful. Absolutely. I'm like, I play her boyfriend. Yeah, She's like, my boyfriend?
Yeah, wow.
Like, that's Milk, It Does a Buddy Good. Baby.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was my first gig. And then 6 months later, I ended up on Saved by the Bell in the new class, which was obviously unreal. I mean, it was like learning by doing. It was like going through the master class of acting.
Yeah, because that was a sitcom. Obviously, it's become now a pretty huge cult classic. But back then, it was big in its time. Saturday morning cartoon. It took kind of over the cartoon. So I grew up watching Saturday morning cartoons, and then Peter Engel, who was like your producer, he kind of did something unique. He started bringing like sitcoms on Saturday mornings. Geared for the younger audience, and it just kind of hit, you know? And
And for me, it was a great stepping stone.
Yeah, and that was great because when you got that, because that's your first actual series, and did you know going into it how big that show was at the time or the legacy it had at the time?
I had no clue.
So you just got a call saying it was...
No clue.
It's called, Saved
by the Bell, and they were like, I went in there, I'm like, I got this high school. Yeah, I was an exchange student. I can do this. And they wanted an all-American guy. They were looking for the new Zach basically.
Zach type.
And I was like, I don't have an accent. Don't worry. Meanwhile, my nickname was Baby A, like Baby Arnold, because I was like talking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. And I was like, don't worry. I went in there. I went to producers, NBC, a whole room full of producers. And I was basically speaking German to them. And they were like, whoa, what's up with this kid?
Wow.
So the director came out and said, like, listen, we're going to rewrite the script for you. Don't worry. Just be yourself. Don't try to be American. So I became the Swiss exchange student. And it was great. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic for me to learning by doing every day. I mean, you know, like you said, it was a sitcom. We were shooting in front of live audience.
Yeah, when there was live audiences.
It was crazy.
I remember, if I recall, because to take it back. I was good friends with Natalia Cigaluti and Jonathan Angel, Sarah Lancaster, Samantha Becker, and then you kind of came because you came in what this it was the what season
second
was
year
it? second year, and I just remember. First off, I remember you coming in very polite, very respectable, and they were like, oh, this is the new character, blah, 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 blah. But what I do remember about the show, visiting the set, is that you guys had this, you guys would bus in these, like, teenagers, and they would just go crazy.
Nuts.
You would walk out, wink, they'll be like, and then this, I mean, it was literally anything you guys did, and that was that. It was there's something infectious about being with a live audience, and
crazy.
And it's like doing, I guess, like stage. Right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you feed of it, and that's what it's all about. You know, you have a tape early in the morning, where you kind of like you go for safety, and you got it all in the can, and then you let the screamers loose. And like you said, they bust them in. I wasn't even on the air yet, and they screamed. They didn't even. Nobody had ever seen me, and they were like, "Ah!"
And what was that like? Now, because I've had a lot of friends go through this, but for you, you got obviously going from a Milk commercial, and then kind of into a little quote unquote like teen idolism in a way, because now you're in magazines, you know. Yeah. And I know we had a lot of mutual friends that were in those, but it goes from that to like now seeing yourself. What was that transition like for you? Like, was that something you always kind of wanted? Is that something kind of like, well, I didn't really think that was going to happen? And the friends start making fun of you at that point?
They're still making fun of me. most of them have forgotten about it. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was surreal, absolutely surreal. I had never imagined any of that. And now in hindsight, you wish, you know, you could have been a little more grateful and enjoyed the ride a little better. Mm-hmm. But I think I did.
Yeah. And the thing is, you were always humble. You're still humble now. But I just remember because, you know, you see a lot of people, and I'm sure you get a testament to this, that there's a lot of people that go through this whole journey in this scene, and you see some people get ego, some people don't, and da da da. And you always still remain, you still the same. Like even you sit here, and when we kind of reunited on a red carpet recently, it was exactly like how you were. You didn't change. You didn't. You. You.
I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah. No, it's a good thing. But before that, my guest co-host, Marcus Fien. Marcus Lewis Fien, do you have any questions on the earlier life of Christian Oliver and or Saved by the Bell time periods before we start moving into his venture as a more actor, producer?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up on Saved by the Bell. So this was really cool for me to have you come in here. But I want to talk, what was it like? So you've been in a couple of different war films, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one was your favorite? And I'm just curious, like, why? And, like, what was, like, Valkyrie versus the Good German?
Yeah, German. The Good German, I think, is one of those experiences I'll take to my grave in awe, because it was truly, for me, the ultimate dream, playing Cate Blanchett's husband, with George Clooney, Tobey Maguire, Steven Soderbergh, one of the greatest directors. And for me, it was unreal. I didn't know really what I was getting myself into at the time either, which was great because there was absolutely no egos on that set. There was everybody was treated Amazing. Equal. And it's one of those experiences where you're like, wow, I really truly wish this for any actor or any person to just have a working environment like that and get to experience it. You know, it was unreal.
Was that your no? Because your first film was Babysitter's Club, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, from that, you know,
two different.
Yeah. No, but because I mean, and the good thing with you, you were able to kind of break out of this quick transition of quote unquote, you know, the teen world into the adult side of movies. Why do you think that was for you in that sense? What do you think you had? Maybe was it not luck, but was it just something that you happened just to land a certain project that happened to get you that smooth transition out of that? Or just because you weren't on as long as maybe some people have been on for years?
Oh, I absolutely think you're right. I mean, I being a year on Saved by the Bell was just something that didn't necessarily help me, but for personally and as an actor, I grew tremendously. And now it's interesting. Now it even, you know, now people like to talk about it more than back in the days. And then the Babysitter Club became a weird kind of like, yeah, everybody. I get recognized more from the Babysitter Club than any other movie I ever did. It's crazy.
It's amazing.
Like, yeah, and people like, you know, like, oh my God, Luca from the Babysitter Club. You still look like it. I'm like,
well, the thing is, you still. He was just telling me.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
He's like, we were looking at some photos. He goes, he's still the same, which is good. And it's cool, but you like I said, taken well care of yourself. But I mean, it's great to see because you have transitioned, and to see you also not even that, but going into really dramatic roles. Now, was that something in, like as you said, you didn't even think about acting. Now, was doing dramas something you always thought about doing if you were going to go into acting, or were you always thought maybe you were going to be a comedian, comedy type?
No, you're absolutely right. I always thought of myself as like a serious drama actor, which is weird because I obviously started in a sitcom. Funny kind of thing, and I still wish I could get the opportunity to do that again because I think that's the Hail Mary. I mean, that's like wow! I didn't even realize that's really a craft by itself. So I feel very confident in the world that I'm in right now, and that's more the serious drama driven, you know, darker stuff. But I'd love to do a kids movie again. Oh, like Speed Racer was a fun, crazy.
That was a huge film. I mean, in the sense of, you know, the directors again, it was the
Wachowskis.
Yeah, Wachowski brothers.
Sisters.
Yeah. Don't throw me off.
We're not going to go into this.
Okay. Okay.
They're the sisters.
Okay. So you get into this franchise. Is it Emil Hirsch, wasn't that?
Yes.
Emil Hirsch, okay. Yeah. So,
awesome. But great guy.
It's one of those movies that it's like a big, huge kind of sets and all that. Was that your biggest, quote-unquote, budgeted film in the sense of, like, working on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the funny thing is, it was just a green room.
Oh, really?
In Berlin. Wow. Yeah. So there was no big sets. There was, I mean, they were in all fairness, but all my stuff took place driving the car.
Yeah.
Snake Oiler, you know, and it was amazing. It was such a great experience because those guys, the Wachowskis, they're so out there and they just basically, you know, push you off the cliff and then catch you when you fall and you just have to go with it. It was amazing. One of the funnest experiences I ever had. But all I had to work with was a green room.
Wow.
No other actors. Everybody was at a different stage.
Oh, wow.
Like different stages going, different units going.
Wow. And they're going bank right, bank left.
Yeah. Like driving and then awesome. Shoot there. And I was this mean, you know.
Yeah.
It was my first role and where they let me play like a villain. Wow. It was fun.
And I think I remember, and it's funny because I think when I saw you pop up there, I remember like going, because it was so out of the blue, you know, of course, and all of a sudden I go, hey, that looks like Christian. Like, it was like, you're like, rrr. And it was kind of funny. It's funny to kind of see that. And
they let me do it again in their Sense8, their Netflix series. I played a really bad villain. Like, I was shaved my head. I had tattoos everywhere. I played this Russian mobster. It was great. Those guys always let me have fun. So
well, we're going to talk about, you know, transitioning that. We're going to talk about your new movie, The Outer Wild. We're going to cut to a music break. And my guest co-host, would you like to introduce that? And we'll be coming back more here with Christian Oliver, again, from the new movie, The Outer Wild, which is, what, is it now out, right?
It's out. You can get it anywhere.
Okay.
Check your local listing, I guess, like, you know, VOD, Comcast, whatever it is.
Okay, and let's do a little quick plugs for social media really quick before we go to the break again. People could find you as
Instagram,
well.
Instagram, Christian Oliver 33.
So that's C-H-R-I-T-I-A-N, Oliver, O-L-I-V-E-R, the number 33. All right? Right?
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll be back. I'm going to talk about his new movie, The Outer Wild, and more after this commercial, or no, actually this music break. Marcus, do you want
Absolutely. Can't wait to hear this song again. This is Let Things Go by Amber Patino.
All right. Amber Patino, again, she's also in the new series with Sean Penn. The first.
Love that
series.
So not
confused with The First Man, which we are First Man.
Correct.
This is the first. So she was a guest here, but she also is a beautiful singer. And so we definitely wanted to help promote this one more time.
Again, it's Let Things Go by Amber Patino.
Here we go.
All genres, all indie.
Now listen carefully.
The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
To let things go, the things that hurt your soul. You got to let things go, let things ride on their own. Well, now you know, you got to let it go now, 'cause we are who we are, and you can't change that world. You got to let go, the past is in the past. You got to let things go, 'cause you are beautiful. You got to let it go. Yesterday is over. You got to let it go. Don't let it hurt you. Let it heal your soul. You got to, you got to be in the here and now. You know that you're safe right here, and you know that you're not there anymore. You got to let things go. Things that hurt your soul. You got to let things go. Let things ride on their own. You got to let things go. You got to let things go. You got to let. to go.
All right, that was Let Things Go by Amber Patino. Again, if you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. Again, that was Let Things Go by Amber Patino. Check her out. She's got a new song also that just released called Supernova that she said was inspired by her series. She's actually an actress, a singer and an actress who's on this series on Hulu called The First, starring Sean Penn. Again, her name is Amber Patino, A-M-B-E-R, P as in Paul, A-T-T-I-N-O. That's Amber Patino. Again, check out her song, Let Things Go, as well as Supernova. What'd you think, Marcus?
I love that song.
Christian, unreal.
Yeah,
For her age.
She's young, and no one really believes. But again, check her out. Again, that's Let Things Go. So we're back here with my guest co-host of the hour, my man, actor Marcus Lewis Fien.
What up?
Coming out with the new film, When It Rings. And let's do a social media really quick.
Oh, sure. It's Marcus underscore L-O-U-I-S underscore. Last name is F-I-E-N.
Cool. All right. And then we are back here with the guest of the hour, longtime dear friend, actor, producer of the new film, The Outer Wild, Christian Oliver. Welcome back.
Hello.
All right. So, Christian, so we went from you going from, obviously, from South Carolina, right?
No, North Carolina.
From Germany.
Germany
North to Carolina, North Carolina, then to New York, then to L.A., catapulted into, teen idolism, so to speak, on Saved by the Bell, the new class. Then you got to work with people like George Clooney, Tobey Maguire, longtime dear friend, Tobey Maguire as well, and Cate Blanchett. Yep. And the good German. I mean, you've done a lot prior to that, but was that your after? I mean, I think Babysitter's Club was your first film, but feature. What was the good German, or what do you think was the movie that would say, "Oh, this is a big movie"? Like, was that that?
It was definitely that. It was definitely the good German for me. I mean, you know, it was all shot black and white. It was an homage to film noir with one of the greatest directors, Steven Soderbergh. And a cast that was just incredible. It was just every day going to the set was just a joy, and I had to pinch myself every day being part of it and feeling like really being part of it, because those guys all made you feel like you're part of the family. It was incredible.
And I think when you do something like that, you got George Clooney, Steven Soderbergh, Cate Blanchett, Tobey Maguire. It definitely raises eyebrows in the industry of like, who's this guy now? You know, this guy's working with these guys.
It was absolutely, I mean, the movie, you know, called The Good German, we premiered in Berlin at the Berlin Film Festival. Wow. And to walk the red carpet with,
wild,
you know, Cate was just like, people were like, what is going on?
And was that thrill for you, especially for family, because you're from German?
Oh,
you
know? All my families, all my friends. I had not plus one, I had plus 25. That's awesome. Yeah. I had the cousin of the cousin, and I had everybody come. It was great.
That's great. That's awesome. So, okay. So let's flash forward. So from that point, what do you think you gained from the certain... What are the highlights that you could that is very memorable from each experience? Obviously, starting from Saved by the Bell, like let's take one takeaway from certain films, and you could name off the films that you could say up to leading up to right now. We're going to talk about The Outer Wild, but from Saved by the Bell, what do you think was one takeaway that you could get out of that? Just we'll go quickly. So like,
it was definitely the teen idol thing, like you said. It was like Tiger Beat and Teen Beat and being in that thing where you go like, wow, what am I doing here? it was great. It was absolutely something that I had never experienced, and I will always hold dear.
So, and then the takeaway from what do you think was the highlights from your first feature, which is the Babysitter's Club? What do you think was
Babysitter Club was the first studio movie I ever did.
Studio
and it was
film.
Just like, wow, you know, great girls, all of these girls. You look at their careers now.
Yeah.
I just did a movie with Larissa, who was one of the babysitters, and it's great. It was just a studio movie, you know. Yeah.
And then, so let's flash forward to your takeaway from The Good German.
Good German, like I said, it was a first time really feeling part of the big league and feeling being treated like an equal, and something that I will always take to every set, no matter where. You want everybody, no egos, and you want everybody to be a team and everybody being treated equally. It was amazing to see how it can work on a level like that with hundreds of people on the set, extras, 500, and it was just a smooth, well-oiled machine, and it was great.
So then we jump to getting to work on a film with Tom Cruise and Valkyrie. What was that experience like?
Well, let's make it different. Tom Cruise is unbelievable. He's the biggest star in the world, period. I mean, I don't know how people can argue that. He's mesmerizing. He's absolutely giving as an actor on set. He's a professional. He's a perfectionist. He wants you to be on your top game. So he's really there to work with you. It was amazing. The movie itself, it's a great movie, but it was sitting around for 6 weeks every day waiting for... It was a crazy experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was fun. We were sitting there with the whole Royal Academy of English actors all in our uniforms waiting every day. Are we going to shoot?
Yeah. Marcus, any questions from before we go into the outer wild?
Just one quick technical question. In Saved by the Bell, that was your first big, you know, gig after the milk commercial, if you will, right? Yep. For actors getting into the industry, if they get catapulted into something like that scenario, what was your best way of memorizing the dialogue on such a short amount of time going into each episode?
I'm still trying to figure that out. 20 years later, I'm still trying to figure that
out. Totally understandable.
No, I mean, the good thing is we had actually a teacher on set, which always helps.
Oh,
if
wow.
you have somebody to run lines
like an acting
with.
Coach?
Yes, we had a coach because
Great.
All of us had that, you know, some of them still went to school in the morning and then had to record, you know, tape in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Because they were 14 at the time. So it was great. We had a coach on set, and I think it's always great to have a coach on set. And trust me, all the big guys have a coach.
Yeah.
And you might not know about it.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do.
But it's good to have it, and it's also good to always, you know, run it with your
scene partner.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
if
cool.
it works, it works.
Definitely.
But good question.
Thanks.
Cool.
Still working on that. Hopefully with you one day.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, cool. Okay, so let's flash forward now. You when did you okay, so we got The Outer Wild.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about what is The Outer Wild. Tell the people about it and what inspires you to get involved with this. You're not only just an actor, but also a producer.
Yes.
And when did you jump into the producing game?
Okay, perfect. This is also inspired through The Good German or through Steven Soderbergh, who is the ultimate independent, you know, sex lies videotape. He is the little tiny indie guy who mm-hmm. became a super mega director who's still doing those tiny little movies. You always feel like he's doing one for the studio, one for the soul.
Yeah.
One for the studio.
Kind of George Clooney does that too. Like
he'll do and it's beautiful. And I saw that and I was shooting the Subject 2 was my first movie that I produced with the same guys that we just did The Outer Wild. So basically it all ties together. Subject 2 was really in the vein of completely independent filmmaking. We made a movie for $25,000. We all put our credit cards down, and it ended up at Sundance. And we opened the Sundance midnight section, and we sold the movie at Sundance, and it was a great success. It was this little tiny indie movie. And in that vein, in that spirit, which I love about indie movie and filmmaking, we made The Outer Wild. Unfortunately, it took us 10 years to make the next one. I made a couple in between, but with this team, this particular team, it took us a while, and this is The Outer Wild. We shot it in Colorado the same way we shot Subject 2. So if anybody, you know, is interested in indie movies, you can make them on a small, tiny budget. Check out Subject 2 for sure. We had a great time in the middle of winter in Aspen. But The Outer Wild, this is the movie that just is available right now on video on demand. So check out your local listings. You type it in, The Outer Wild. You'll find it. Please order it. Please get it. Please check it out. Hopefully you'll be able to enjoy it as what it is, independent filmmakers that try on a small budget to make a big world, to create a big world, to create a fantasy, to create something that is meaningful, something that is different. So, you know.
What's the movie about?
It's good question. It's a post-apocalyptic sci-fi thriller. And that's a big, it sounds big. But really what it is, it's a small movie about the grass is always green on the other side, basically. It's the world, nature had turned its back on us. And I think it's kind of like very timely in the sense, how do we treat nature? And nature will eventually treat us the same way we treat nature. So nature turned it back on us. It's the end of the world. Only a small population, a very small group of people survived. They live in colonies, and everybody lives in fear. Everybody lives in their own little prisons, in their own colonies. And they dream of this fable thing out there that is ruled by women. And it's something that's supposedly better. So this girl, she's being experimented on. She goes into the wild, and the wild is full of mutated creatures. And she needs to make her way to this fable sanctuary, and she's being hunted by this rogue bounty hunters, or different bounty hunters. I play one of the bounty hunters.
Your character's name is Cole.
Cole. Bro, okay. I go get her, and I obviously with my intention of bringing her back to the colony, and on my journey, I find out that maybe this is not what it's all about, and I help her find that fable, that beautiful place. And together we experience a lot of different things out there in the world, and by the time we get there, it's the question of is it in this inhumane world, what makes us human, you know, and what makes us tick.
So this is directed by and written by Philip Chaddell, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then starring Lauren McKnight, along yourself, Jeffrey Vincent Paris, is it Paris?
Yeah.
Tori Terranova, Jimmy Jean Lewis, Zach Roerig, Dean Stapleton, Kerry White, Elena Garland. So what inspired you to, like, what was it? Because you said it took so many years before the last one. What was it about this film that said, okay, it's time to do it again?
It was literally about bringing the band back together. You know, nice. As Dean and Philip, we met in acting class. And like I said, we made a movie, the three of us, for $25,000. And we're like, wow, we should have made a movie every year. And just like, you know, kept going and but shoulda, coulda, doesn't matter. Let's make one now. We went to Sundance again, and we got some financing and, you know, some great investors who really believed in independent filmmaking. And sometimes that's all you really need.
Yeah.
You know, people that believe in a vision, people that believe in creativity and have part of this independent spirit, you know. And we were like, let's do this again. And Philip came up with the story. And we shot in Colorado again. Dean, who is a Aspen local, he got us a farm that was owned by the Gorsuch family.
Uh-huh.
I mean, wow. Insane, beautiful farm. And we were like, well, this is post-apocalyptic. Isn't this desert and everything is desolate and dead? We're like, no, it doesn't have to be.
Right.
Not in our world.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Our world is the beauty and this crazy, lush world that you experience.
Nice. Wow. So, and then what do you like do you like being a producer more than the actor, or is it equal, or what is your challenges that maybe people don't realize when they get into, you know, I could relate in that sense. I mean, as a producer, I get both angles. What do you like better?
Well, I do like to get the call and be like, hey, you want to come join us on, you know, The Good German and play Kate Blanchett's husband. I like those calls a lot. I wish they could come in every day. Mm-hmm. No, but in all fairness, you know, you create your own destiny. You create your own jobs, and you got to stay active and stay. For me personally, it's all about the creative juices going, you know, and working with people that you like. I mean, I basically cast the movie, you know, those. Jimmy J is a friend of mine. He was on Hero. You know, he's the Haitian on Hero. Uh-huh. He's now on Claws. He's a great friend of mine. We play soccer together. You know, so everybody on that list, I cast them myself with Philip and Dean. And we want to get the right spirit. You want to get the right people together. And I feel like producing is, in a sense, it's like a Rolodex kind of business. You got to draw upon the relationships you made for many years, and hopefully you made good relationships and you treated them with respect, and they'll come and work for you for a good, you know, I wouldn't say for a good cause, because that's not what it is, but they come in to work for, you know, everybody in my movie, everybody gets a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
So everybody gets back end, everybody gets a point.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, I want to make this a family kind of thing where everybody's in it to win it.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, and that's very cool, because you have this cool, you know, like almost like a mantra, because it's like I said, they all know, like, okay, it's not just, you know, it's more of a family thing, and that's the one thing that I think people don't really realize, especially in independent filmmaking, is working with, you know, certain people that you like, and you learn to work with them, and then you learn the respect level, and I think that's what gets the job done, especially if you're on a, you know, shoestring or just time constraints, you know.
Absolutely, and you realize that it's really these relationships. I mean, I don't know how big or how small they are, and if it's the assistant that was an assistant 20 years ago and suddenly runs a studio or whatever, all of this, I've seen it all.
Yeah.
And you treat them with respect in the way you want to be treated. these relationships come in handy. And now at my point of producing, I mean, I love the independent spirit, but I have a couple projects in the work with studios. I have something in the work with John Legend, which I'm a huge fan of. I just optioned a huge IP that I'm happy that I got the rights for. It's like a Marvel Universe kind of thing. It's a comic book series out of Germany.
Wow.
300 million copies sold. So I'm definitely going in a different direction. You know, Zipper, the movie that I executive produced, was like a $5 million movie that went to Sundance, where literally I just put a couple pieces together. And it's amazing when you suddenly want to elevate and want to play in a different league as well. So I definitely have a couple of those projects on the horizon, TV shows that I'm working on.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what would you like? Okay, let's go on the acting side. What would be your ideal dream role to do and with who next?
Wow.
And or what kind of or what character?
I don't know. Well, I do love playing the villains. I don't know why. Because nobody looks at me and is like, oh, he's a villain. But then, yeah, the Wachowskis let me play the villain, like in Sense8 and in Speed Racer. So I would love to embody one of those villains, I think. And maybe John Malkovich is one of my all-time favorite actors.
Okay, yeah.
I wouldn't mind playing around with him a little bit.
Any directors you'd like to work with? Put it out there. You never
know. Well, Spielberg, of course. Who doesn't want to do a Spielberg movie? You got to Clint Eastwood. Oh, man. I don't know how many he still has in him, but wow. I would be happy being in a day player on Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Any of those guys. Yeah, definitely.
Well, we'll put it out there. Well, we got like 3 minutes left here. Time went by quick. So again, so people could check out The Outer Wild. It's now on video on demand.
iTunes, Amazon, nice. Comcast, DirecTV. Please check it out. Thank you so much for having me on the show, man. It was great to see you.
You too. And you got what? I Am Fear?
I Am Fear is coming out. That's another independent. Rattlesnake is another movie. It's coming out. And Animal Among Us. That's the one with Larissa from The Babysitter Club.
Wow.
I got four little indies coming out. Animal Among Us, I'm one of the producers as well. So yeah, I'm keeping myself busy. And thanks for having me on.
I hope
to be back.
No, ultimately the show is about inspiring others. And you've been inspired. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that wants to do what you do or just follow their dreams in general?
Wow. I have two little children, and all I tell them every day is follow your heart. Be who you are and stay true to yourself. And sometimes kids don't understand what it means, but they're so good at it. They do it every day because they're so pure, so innocent, and they teach us a great lesson in life every day, and that's just be who you truly are and follow your heart, treat others with respect and kindness, and what goes around comes around.
Wow. And how old are they?
5 and 7.
Wow. What's their names? I'll give a shout out.
Anik.
Anik.
And Madita.
Anik and Madita.
Yes.
Well, what's up, Anik and Madita?
Yes.
Your father is amazing. He's a good guy.
I love you, girls.
And so again, check out Christian Oliver on social media as well. It's Christian Oliver 33. And that's on all the platforms or pretty much
Instagram.
Okay.
I'm not big on this stuff, but
okay.
I would like to be.
And then any websites particularly like for your production company or anything like that?
Well, my production company is called Chabo Films, and yeah, my website is called Christian Oliver, and now that you're going to plug it, I'm going to give it a facelift.
Okay. No, so Chabo, what is that? What's the name come from?
Chabo is actually, it's in the same vein as I try to do my professional life, and it's the Chabos were my ultimate, like you said, your boys back, your friendship. That's what it's all about. Chabos were my closest friends.
Oh, so it's a term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, Marcus, really quick, any last quick comments, questions?
No, happy to be here. Thanks for having me
again. No problem. Again, so check out Marcus Lewis Fien, Marcus _ Lewis _...
Fien.
Okay. Check him out. Again, hopefully we'll come back when It Rings is about to come
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
And then again, Christian Oliver, seriously, God bless you, buddy. It's great to see you here and great to, you know, still be friends all these years. And like you said, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so
much.
And
I'm so very excited for you for all that you do. And this, and just also just the person that you have grown into and just become, because you never know. I've seen it all. Like you said, you've seen it all. I've seen a lot as well. And it's great to see the humble person and the hungry person as well, because you can get jaded too. Yeah, and and so like I said, best of luck again. Check him out, Christian Oliver. Again,
thank
the Outer
you so
Wild.
Much for having me.
God bless you guys all. We always want to end up this show. Thank you, Marcus Lewis Fiend.
Always.
Again,
thank
we
you.
Always want to end we want to end off the show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.
Bye.